I have Eject here in the studio. They're ready to go. We're going to play a track from their self-titled EP, and then we're going to get into some interview and some live stuff. So stick around. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Sounds
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject. We're just listening to a track called Laughterland. Hey guys, how you doing?
Hello.
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for coming in on this sweltering Thursday after a night of binge drinking for Independence Day. I really appreciate it.
We
drank for America.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do for your country, man.
That's right.
All right, so why don't we just go around the room. Last I had you guys in here a year ago, we only had two of you. Now I have the whole band here. So why don't we do introductions? Who are you? What do you play? And then we'll go into a live song.
I'm Andy, the singer and guitar player.
I'm Tim, play guitar.
I'm Paul, I play bass.
I'm Gary, and I play drums.
Well done. What are you guys going to play for us first?
A song called Fight, which we haven't really... it's kind of a new song, so...
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject, whenever you're ready.
This is the meeting of the minds, far and wide. This is the jump and call to life in your eyes again. I will not change my mind in your eyes. Peace, love, and understanding. No, I won't be with you when you chuck it up to what you do. Is the meeting of the minds once and twice. This is the jump and call to life in your eyes. Peace, love, and understanding. No, I won't be with you when you just up to what you do when all you do is fight.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject. Great start. How do you guys feel? It's all right?
That's all right. Yeah.
Okay. So forgive me in advance if I ask any questions you might have answered a year ago, but you probably forgot the answers already anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly.
First things first, how much of this is a band, Eject, and how much of this is a guy and his band? Andy, as the lead singer, are you also the lead writer and the lead constructor of the music?
Yeah, I mean, I a lot of these songs I've written in the past, so they're actually old songs to me. I've been writing songs since I was fucking... Oh, can I cuss on the radio?
Yes.
Okay. FCC regulations.
You have until July 15th to say whatever you want.
Since I just did? I'll try to keep it to a minimum. Yeah, a lot of these songs I've written by myself, but it's definitely a band effort because the band has brought these songs to life, and they weren't before that I started this band. They were sort of dormant just in my bedroom, you know. So having started this, all the songs have like taken on a whole new life. So it's
interesting. So instead of having a band that came up with songs, you had songs and then found a band.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because I think a lot of bands, like, they want to start a band and you get in the room and it's like, okay, so now what?
Right, it's like a website that launches with no content.
So it's like I already had the tunes and, you know, we just started playing those and now we've like, hopefully in the future we can start writing together, you know, which would be great. But they're just tunes that I wrote. And
have these guys who've now become Eject, have they changed the way these songs were when you thought of them in the first place?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, Tim, we've been doing some recordings with Tim, and he's a great engineer, and that's been amazing. And everybody has great ideas that they bring, and you know, it's just we did the EP over at Tim's place, and he mixed it, and you know, it's awesome to have that kind of, you know, creativity.
Well, Tim, let me ask you a question. In terms of besides being the engineer, I mean, being in the band and being, you know, the other guy with the guitar, what is sort of your responsibility in the band with that guitar?
I have to look as pretty as possible.
Good luck with that, mate.
It's very difficult, but I try my best.
But I mean, do you have to play in a certain way to, I don't know, bring out Andy's voice the best or compliment his guitar work?
To be honest, a lot of the guitar parts I'm playing are things that Andy would have worked out, would have taken a lot of time when he was constructing these songs and recording his own demos. So, you know, I'll be pretty much playing a lot of what would have been on the songs originally and, you know, bringing a few little pieces myself. But a lot of it's pretty, you know, it's well worked out.
And how did you meet this? How did you get involved in this group in the first place?
Well, I was playing in a band with a friend of ours, Terry, and Gary was playing drums. And I was playing bass, and I was like, if I ever start a band, Gary would be the guy to have drums, you know. And then I put an ad on Craigslist for a bass player, seeking Peter Hook, like a New Order kind of thing. And I found Paul, and then that kind of started. And I was like, okay, now I've got a bass player. Let's get a drummer. So I called Gary. So that kind of happened. And then Gary is very good friends with Tim, and. You know, they're both Irish, so everybody knows each other. They're Irish.
And Andy's the only American in the band.
Yeah, I'm the one. It's a very
now, nice. Gary, let me ask you, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you last year, but especially listening to this CD and seeing you guys play live, I mean, the drums are a very important part of this act. There's something different about the drumming in Eject than, I think, in a lot of indie rock bands. The drummer is its own. It's not just there to keep the beat. It's a very present thing. Okay. Tell me about your experience doing that in Eject.
Similar to Tim, a lot of the drum parts were actually worked out before, which made it much easier for me. You know, well done.
I'm a dictator.
So you know, that makes it's good for me to for a stretch. Do you know what I mean? From what I might normally do, I might not normally do play something a certain way. So to actually be pushed in another direction is great for me, and I just do what I do and. You know, try and make it sound as solid and musical as possible, you know.
How did you start with the drums? Was it as a kid with pots and pans? Or
actually, it was pots and pans. It was pots and pans and wooden spoons turned backwards, you know, as a kid. And it used to drive my parents insane, of course. Yeah, it started off there, and then I got my first, like, snare drum when I was, like, 14 or something, and then kind of just went from there, you know, from band to band and to here, you know.
So is this sort of where you've... you feel like you've arrived, absolutely. Like after all of these bands, absolutely. Now you're finally in Eject?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the first, probably the first band where this, I feel that the music is the strongest, you know, and I feel very, very happy about that.
Excellent. And Tim, you had played in several other bands before this as well?
Yeah, actually myself and Gary were in a band, you know, way back in the beginning of the 90s. So we've sort of played together for quite a while. I've been in quite a lot of bands and I feel the same as Gary. This kind of feel like this band is sort of the strongest.
And how did you find guitar as your instrument?
Well, I grew up in quite a musical family. My three brothers are all musicians and sound engineers, so it's kind of... They're all a good bit older than me, so I used to kind of sneak into their rooms when they were out at work and pull the guitars out and play around with them when I was like 7 or 8, and kind of was making little albums myself when I was 10 on cassettes.
You dirty boy, you.
That kind of thing, yeah. Finding their porno mags as well.
But right.
So it was a mixture of porno mags and guitars.
He still has the porno mags.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a true musician story, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Paul, the story goes, as Andy had mentioned, and as you can see on the MySpace page, that he put out an ad searching for Peter Hook. But now, well over a year later, you're probably tired of referring to yourself as the Peter Hook of Eject.
Well, not really, but...
It's not such a bad title,
no,
is it?
No, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it, but...
I'd rather be the Simon Gallup of Eject. Or just be Simon Gallup, which is what I'm going to devote the rest of the year to being as much like him as possible.
Well, my point he is has a sick obsession with The Cure. It's crazy.
You've probably continued to develop your own sound, your own style as a bass player in this band. No? So it's just following Andy's lead?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
No, he encourages... Andy definitely encourages all of us to interpret the parts, but... every time he does that, I just think, well, I haven't got any better ideas than you, mate. Because the bass lines he gives me are great.
That's quite a compliment, actually, Andy. I mean, in a lot of bands, you do have someone who's the front man, and everybody's trying to work their own personality into it. In this case, it sounds like you're welcome to that, but they're really quite happy with what you're giving them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe the way that I recorded the songs is just works for these tunes. You know, I guess maybe that's probably what it is.
Do you play any other instruments yourself?
Oh yeah.
I mean, so do you have sort of an understanding of how a bass player thinks of a bass and a drummer?
I guess. I mean, I never played bass in a band aside from Terry's thing. But I grew up playing classical music, like piano and stuff. So, and I grew up just, I had a drum set in my bedroom and keyboards and bass and guitar. So I didn't have a band. I didn't have anybody else to play with. So I just did it all myself.
That's so sad.
I was a lonely, lonely
suburban,
boy.
Suburban loneliness.
It's the great story. Yeah.
Seems like I had porn. So
Tim had porn, and I had guitars.
I had older brothers, porno mics
to play with. Why don't we listen to another track from the CP? Where can people get this? It's just called Eject. It's got some cheap
on our MySpace. You can buy it. You can get it on CD Baby. You can get it. I think it's on iTunes.
You can get it in Amoeba Records too.
Yeah. You can find it in your local store, yes.
What track do you recommend we play?
You could play Caring Again, I guess.
All right. So we'll have another listen to this CD, and then we'll come back and do some more interview and live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject. We'll be right back. Back on Is Good on killradio.org with my guest Eject. You can check out myspace.com/ejecttheband. That's your main web presence right now, right?
Yeah.
This is MySpace. Yes. This self-titled EP, this is the Eject debut.
Yes.
When you guys were in here a year ago, you had a sort of a demo version of this, and then you re-recorded it all and mastered it all.
Yeah.
How long did that take to put this, what is this, five songs together?
Probably about a year.
Yeah.
It took the best part of a year.
Do you enjoy the recording artist part of being a musician?
Oh yeah,
or do you
love
prefer
it.
To be out there live?
No, the studio's great. It's very fun. Just, you know, fooling around with different sounds and stuff. It's great. And, you know, like I said, like Tim and everybody has great stuff to bring creatively. So,
are you still the boss in the recording studio, or is that even more collaborative? But with Tim's engineering expertise and everything.
I guess I do kind of. Apparently, I do tell everybody what to play.
It's not quite like that, but it never feels like anyone's the boss around
here at all.
You know,
I think we're all sort of working towards, you know, getting the songs to be the best they can.
Yeah, if I can use a cliche, the songs really are the boss.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, the songs came from Andy, so Andy's the boss, yeah.
Therefore.
You win.
God, man.
Is this EP sort of the precursor to a full length?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, I hope we can do a record soon.
I mean, have you continued recording?
Yeah, we do. We just went in the studio again and did some drum tracks at a friend of ours' place. And we were going to put out another, like, five-song EP. But, you know, maybe in the future we could do a whole record. I don't know if somebody wants to pick us up.
If you're out there listening.
Yeah.
Why don't we go into another live song, if you guys are ready.
Sure. All right.
What are you going to play?
The song's called Underground. Another new one.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Eject live.
Chilling lines in the chain. changing noise. Well, ah, your poison's to the world. Ooh, I break down underground. Underground,
listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject. That was awesome, guys. So I'm going to put myself out there for a bit. Maybe you can help me understand something about Eject. There's something, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I've seen you guys play live a couple times, and I've had you here in the studio. And there's something about the music that brings me back to a certain, an earlier time in my life. There's a certain early 90s quality to it. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way at all. I mean that in the as a compliment. It's something different about this than what you hear, you know, on mainstream corporate radio today. Right. What's considered modern rock. This sounds to me more like what modern rock was before it became right. modern. Mm-hmm. Is this a product? I mean, am I crazy? And
no,
it seems
no.
Other
I mean,
people pointed this out.
I mean, that was like from 1991 to 94. I was just mad for all that music. You know, it's like.
So it's a product of the music you were listening
to
at
I mean,
that
I'm
time.
I'm a huge Britpop fan, man. It's like everything that was happening then. When Oasis came out, I was just fucking, I went nuts, you know. I couldn't believe like how great the band was, and like Stone Roses and Blur and, you know, all those bands.
So when you set out to write your own material, it just sort of naturally came out of you that way?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I grew up listening to The Smiths and The Cure and stuff like that, and then it just like progressed from there to all those other Britpop bands, you know, that were happening. So yeah, I mean, I that's like all I listen to. It's hard for me to listen to new music because I just don't really get it. Well, I still listen to the old, like, I still put on Stone Roses and, you know, stuff like that.
Along those lines, and anybody feel free to jump in on this, like, what is it that you hear in current music that's something you don't want to do with Eject? You know, make sure that you don't work that in.
I think there's good stuff going on. I mean, like, I just bought that Arcade Fire record, and I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's just, like, I listen to Indie 103, and it's like, I just don't really get it. I don't know what they're doing, you know? It just seems, like, boring. So I don't know.
Well, the sound of a lot of stuff is really horrible. Like, all the technology has brought good things, but it's brought bad things with it, too.
You mean in terms of engineering?
In terms of just the sound and how the bands perform. And how, like, this, it's sort of like, you know, you listen to, like, a great old record like Harvest by Neil Young, and you can tell there's people in a room performing together. And it's not just the sound and the technical thing, though that's part of it, because you've got a sound of people playing that's a performance,
mm-hmm.
and an energy. And that is just not present in what you listen to on the current radio. And you've also got these other artifacts, like, you know, tuning things where they tune everything to hell and they cut and paste everything to hell and make everything perfect. And
I think,
you're just missing that sort of human thing.
It is, yeah.
It's very manufactured now.
Yeah.
It's almost like a bank manager is telling them how to make their songs and how to make the record sound.
Yeah. Well, actually, a bank manager probably is telling
them.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I think, you know, that kind of early 90s Brit thing is the common thread between the four of us, too, that we all have, you know, a lot of different listening tastes, and we all have very different kind of histories in different types of bands. But that's the one thing we come back to that all four of us pretty much agree. And also, I think just, unless I've, you know, misunderstood this, just the sentiment I get from Andy's songwriting is kind of nostalgic in itself. There's a lot of just kind of loss and longing, and, you know, and there's nostalgia working on two levels there.
Yeah. I'm terribly distraught. Yeah.
Well, along those lines, are there certain themes you find yourself, you know, continually coming back to when you write new material?
Of course. I mean, like, I think it comes back to, like, lost love or something. You know, it's like that when I was, like, 21, 1993, and Oasis came out, and I was, like, dating some girl in college, and, you know.
It all seems so important
at
the time.
Yeah, it seemed so amazing. It's like there was something really cool happening. So, I don't know. I guess, yeah, there's total nostalgia.
Well, let's play another track from the EP, and then I want to talk to you guys about performing live and your adventures over the year being on stage. What should I play next?
Under Your Skin?
Yeah, Under Your Skin, the first one, please.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Check out myspace.com/ejecttheband for more information on my guest today.
Waiting for
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Eject. So let's talk about live performing in Los Angeles as Eject. When we spoke last year, you guys had done a couple of shows with Kiss or Kill and a couple of other shows, but you were focusing more on recording. But since then, you guys have played quite a lot of different venues.
Yeah, we just kind of took a little break for a month because it's the summer and, you know, we all have lives. You know, so we went, people went on vacation and stuff, but we've got quite a bit of shows booked. We've got a really cool night coming up on Monday at the Roxy. Frankie O'Reilly and Andy Dick are putting on a social mental crazy bring your mates night, so that should be really cool. And we've got a residency at Molly Malone's,
mm-hmm. and we're there this Wednesday as well.
Yeah
Not your next Wednesday, we're
mid September to mid October is the residency.
Yeah, every Wednesday for 4 weeks we'll be at Molly Malone's then, and we have
the metal school
night at the Key Club August 13th.
So we're just packing it in, you know.
That's great.
Actually, May, we played quite a bit of shows as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those shows that you had played, did that change the face of the band at all? Did it anybody look at the band a little bit differently?
I don't know. I think it's going to take a little bit more playing because mm-hmm. we really haven't. I mean, we played, but we haven't played like a lot of bands play in L.A., like just play. So,
I mean, we really enjoy doing it, but in this city or any one city, there's no point playing, you know, four times a week. So we're right. not going to really have that impact on the band until we go and tour, so we can play every night. And that's going to that'll be like night and day. I'm sure that in like any band, we're going to change a lot. But we've never had that frequency of gigging in LA where it's changed just dramatically. But we really enjoy, you know, I don't want us to be one of those bands that can only do it in the studio or only do it live. Mm-hmm. I very much want it to be, you know, a band that's has equal prowess in both those departments, and
I think that's what we're doing now.
It's I'd like to think we're recording this point, and we've done that.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Now, so. Because you guys are doing something that's a little bit different from your standard indie rock, do promoters have an idea of where to place you? Has it been good so far, or do you find yourselves, you know, somewhere in between a rap act and a hardcore?
I think
band?
Once people see us play, they kind of like, oh, okay, this isn't some, you know, just little band. We actually know what we're doing.
But is it hard to find gigs where you're on, you know, the right bill with the right other
guys?
It is.
It really
yeah,
is.
It is.
Actually,
so, yeah,
especially
yeah.
in this town, it's like, you know.
I mean, I just went
and
back.
And get paid on that
yeah,
as well.
I mean, I went back to Ireland recently, and the live scene there is so brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, they really, from promoters who know how to promote the right bands playing together to people who come to shows. I mean, there's people that'll actually go out to see bands just for the fun of seeing bands, and I don't really see a lot of that here, I don't think. You know, it doesn't seem
no, I agree.
It's not as sort of much of a scene.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's.
You know, I'd definitely love to see more of that, and sort of more promoters kind of putting together, like, you know, like you've done great shows where you put like match bands up that are sort of suit each other or have nights that have a vibe to them.
That's the thing. It's like you very seldom see a place where people just go to the venue to see whatever band is on. Because
right.
you go to most venues, yeah. one band plays, all their friends come, then they leave.
Yeah, they leave as soon as the band's done. Yeah.
So there's no sense of a scene. There's no sense of a happening, really. It's just
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would
really
be nice
depressing.
If people would go just to see music. Or maybe they would come for one band, but they would stay for all the other bands because they would assume that if these other bands are playing with them, then it's probably
there's
a good
quality
night.
Evening, and then all the bands would kind of matched well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Could that be because perhaps in Ireland, you know, not everybody's a musician, so the music community is maybe more tight-knit, so you have a lot of people who are going out and seeing many different bands, whereas in L.A. there's so many musicians.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I only have time for, you know, my friends, and
right.
I'm not really into music, but I'll go support my friend
right,
if I have to.
Probably.
Yeah, I think that's a lot. I mean, everyone here appears to be in a band, so, you know, it's a lot more about...
I'll come see your band if you come see mine.
Well, it really is. No, it really is.
It really is that
it
way.
It really is like that. And there's this thing where, you know, other bands show up and they'll just walk up to the front of the stage during your first song to say, look, I showed up. And then they'll leave. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? You know,
it's like a courtesy show.
Yeah, it's like, come to the show if the music moves you. Otherwise, fuck off. I don't want you here, you know. And, that whole thing is, you know, LA, New York, London, all those big cities suffer from that, I think, you know.
Musicians are the worst audience too.
Yeah.
If you go outside of the city and you go somewhere and you play a show, it's amazing the difference. Mm-hmm. You see in a smaller town or something, the difference, the reaction to people, to bands is completely different. They're actually excited and
enjoy. Is it because musicians are more critical, or are they just maybe just jealous that they're not the ones on stage?
A bit of both, yeah. I mean, I think there becomes this competitive element, you know, and even if you go and play in the suburbs of LA, it's a whole different world in that regard.
The thing is, LA has too many fucking bands, man. It's just like there's too many actors and musicians in the city, and they're all trying to get, you know, the prize. Everybody wants, you know, fame.
So then I guess it becomes important to make sure your band isn't contributing to the problem by just being another band. Like, you have to find a way to do something that's, you know, your own voice,
real,
but also unique.
Yeah, if you're doing it for the right reasons, you know.
I think we've always, you know, we don't sit around talking about it, but I think we've always been aware that we don't, yeah, want to contribute. We don't want to be a band for the sake of being a band. You know, that's always been the thing with us. It's really, like you said at the beginning of this interview, it was a bunch of songs that fueled a band, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't sit around and form a band so we could, you know, go and have a laugh and, you know, get girls or whatever. It was the other way around.
We've done that.
Yeah.
been through that whole process.
Is there a kind of venue that you think Eject would really excel at playing in, that you prefer to play in? Like a huge arena versus
Wembley,
a coffee shop, you know?
Wembley Stadium.
Well, I think it'd be cool to do like just theaters, like 2,000 seat theaters.
Yeah,
like
House of Blues size would be good.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But we'll take what we're given, you know. I mean, right now, the bigger the better. You know?
Arrowhead Pond, small, the Staples
Center, Greek,
small like that.
Nice.
Dodger Universal Stadium. Amphitheater, perhaps.
Well, what do you guys want to do next? Do you want to do another live song or listen to another track from the CD?
We could do another live tune.
Which one?
Do you want to do Changes, or are we almost done here?
Yeah, whatever. We can, you know, it's my show. I can go later. I made sure to schedule it so there's no shows after me.
Let's do Changes.
All right.
Yeah, we have to tune up here.
No problem. Well, these guys are tuning up. You might as well go by myspace.com/ejecttheband. Also, this will be available for, it'll be podcast. It'll be up on iTunes tomorrow, but you'll be able to download it this evening from myspace.com/thisisgood. Or if you just go to isgoodmusic.com, that'll take you to the MySpace. And, of course, check out all the other interviews that are there as well, including the Eject interview from last year. All right, so it looks like they're almost ready. So we're gonna adjust the sounds here, get the levels right. This is a song called Changes. It's also on the EP, and they're gonna do their live acoustic version of it right here, right now on Is Good on killradio.org.
Angels, feelings, what's wrong, breathing, feel it's me when, and it changes, only comes your eyes. The love you spoken in a day, there's never one to rise. I wait for you, aimless feeling, when it changes, only comes your eyes. Changes won't change us. Never want to, never want to. All these changes won't change us. Never want to, never want to. won't change us. Never wants you, never wants you. Oh, these changes won't change us. Never wants you, never in your eyes. Never in your eyes.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Eject. Have you guys seen your audience build up over the past year? As you have been, I know you haven't been gigging out too much, but you have the EP out and you've been doing a few shows. With each show, do you see some new faces and some familiar
faces?
We've
got some fans like in Norway and Italy and stuff.
We're definitely at that stage, which a lot of bands have to cross, where you know you have your loyal friends who come to the shows, and God bless them. And I know some, you know, a lot of them genuinely love the band. They're not just, you know, patronizing us. But now we're at the stage where we have to start converting total strangers to this band, and it's happening. But you know, it's a process.
And how do you do that? You just through MySpace and through selling the CD, or just through live performance?
I think the main thing is getting opening slots with bands who have their own audience, you know, who are going to draw and getting in. That's the only way to get in. You know, as Gary was saying, in this town, people come to see their mates and they leave. So it's hard to get in front of.
I think we've got some better shows lined up besides just playing the Silver Lake Lounge on a Thursday night where there's nobody there. It's like kind of pointless. I mean, it's cool.
Good practice.
It's cool to get out and play, but it's like, you know, there's like two people and some Mexican guy at the bar and then, you know, some other dude shooting heroin. Or something.
Anything wrong.
And that was one of the not that there's anything wrong with Mexico.
And that was one of the better nights.
Orderly.
What on the on the subject
totally racist. There goes that
audience. What's wrong with being Mexican?
We just lost half our listeners. Yeah. On the subject. Of your audience, though, what
I knew I was going to put it in my mouth at some point.
What do people come up to you and say after they've seen the show? Aside from, you know, great job, or you know, or that's, I mean, what do people say to you about the music that makes you think, oh, okay, yeah, we're doing it right?
I think people just get it, you know. I like I said before, like a lot of times when we go play, people just like they're sort of. A lot of things that I see when we play is people sit and watch.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, sometimes you're playing in a bar and everybody's drinking and talking and, you know, whatever, but everybody kind of stops and watches the show, which is, I think, is a great sign.
I think kind of...
They're listening to the music.
Along those lines, a turning point for us were, I think, back in February, we opened for, of all people, the Smithereens, which it sounds like a bizarre show, but it was at the Key Club and the place was sold out. And... like Andy says, the audience totally paid attention. And that was the first time we'd really had a decent-sized audience, you know, of strangers. And they were clearly getting it. And I think, you know, that was a big shot in the arm for us.
Yeah. Is there a connection at all between a successful live show and CD sales?
Well, yeah, I mean, we sell more CDs once we play. Mm-hmm. You know, we sell a bunch of CDs after the show.
But so. You do a big show,
but it's
and
not
then
like,
later
you know,
find out that, you know, a whole bunch of songs have been downloaded or...
No.
You don't really see them on the night, but not so much. You'll get a few comments on the page the next day or whatever, but that's about it.
So what's the plan for the future of Eject? You know, when I have you guys back on a year from now, what are we going to talk about?
You just want to see some progress?
well, what do you think? You say you've been continuing to record songs, so maybe there's another EP.
Yeah.
You guys are going to play live a lot.
I'm sort of hoping in the next 6 months we can get some management behind us to sort of find out some other avenues, because it's hard for us, you know. We want to play music. We don't want to do business all the time. I'm sick of doing that kind of stuff. So it'd be nice to have somebody on board with us that can sort of like be pushing us and doing some, you know, promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
somebody that's actually good at what?
Yeah,
that kind
somebody
of thing, that's their job.
Yeah, I imagine
that's
probably
their expertise.
There's probably a lot of so-called band managers in LA that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Manage so-called bands and. Right.
So I'm hoping we can find somebody that we all like and sort of like...
can help us in that direction and sort of help put us in front of sort of people that can help us get to the next levels and get more recordings and have more... So basically, so we don't have more time to be able to work more in the band instead of sort of our having to make our living, you know.
But right. I think another EP in the fall, I guess, probably, which is halfway done, you know. So
yeah. And is that the end game for Eject, to just be able to be Eject and not have to worry about the rest of your daily lives?
I think so. I mean, I think what we all really enjoy working together. So I mean, I think our dream is to be able to, you know, wake up at 10 and go to the studio and record
music.
Well, the goal is to make Eject as good as possible, and a big part of that would be getting rid of our day jobs, because then we could, you know, because we. You know, we were pretty disciplined about rehearsing and stuff, but we show up and we're thrashed, you know. I mean, a couple of these guys work construction, you know, so when they show up in the evening, they're beat, you know, and it's hard. So it's not a case of, you know, we want to just do nothing and go and sit by the pool, although...
That sounds nice.
We would like to have more time to devote to the band and more energy,
To be able to go on a tour, that would be amazing.
Yeah, touring would be, you know, that's the next step too.
To go on a couple of months where you're just playing and playing and playing and seeing new places and having new experiences and getting the music, you know, playing music.
Well, I'll interview you guys again when you come back from your world tour, which I imagine will be in the next year or so. So, what should we do? We're just about out of time. We can play another track from the CD. Did you guys plan on playing another live song, or was that it?
We can, either way.
We can if you want.
I'll take as much as I can get. So, okay. If you want to do another live song, I'll keep the stream
going. You
guys
want to do Laughter Land?
Sure, would you want to do? Are you tired of doing a song off that other live song?
Yeah. Why don't we? We'll play a track from the CD so you guys can tune up, and then we'll end with a live song.
Sounds good.
Hey, Fire. Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is Fire from the Eject EP. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around, there's more to come.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. The band is called Eject. The CD is called Eject. Go to myspace.com/ejecttheband to get more information on them. And just a reminder that they're playing next at the Roxy July 9th, and then at Molly Malone's July 11th, and then August 13th they're doing Metal School Night at Key Club. And then when's the Molly Malone's residency? It's in September?
Mid-September to mid-October, yeah.
Great. So you have a bunch of opportunities to go see them play live. I recommend it. Let's do one more live song before we say goodbye. What are you going to do?
Laughterland.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Eject.
Living in life.
lessons. Awake when it's over, 'cause then you'll be sober and we can start again.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org with my guest, Eject. Again, check out myspace.com/ejecttheband for more info on them. And tune in next week. I'll have Erica Rose and the band Thailand doing two bands a week now. So stay tuned in and drop by isgoodmusic.com, myspace.com/thisisgood to download all the episodes, including this one, which will be up later today. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, John.
And best of luck to you. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.